people have a problem with prayer. And I believe the biggest problem with prayer is that when people have, that they're speaking or engaging with someone that they do not see. And so since it's not, I'm engaging with someone that I do not see, maybe I don't need to engage with them at all. Let me tell you something. And listen to me clearly. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. In other words, it was not just man that used faith. God used faith. He framed the world through his word. He had faith in what he was saying. He knew that it would come to pass. He knew that it would take place. God exercised faith. It's very important to understand, he didn't just exercise power, he spoke it into existence. Believing and having faith in the power of his word that it would come to pass. Faith is a very important thing in the life of a Christian. In fact, it's a very important thing in the life of a human being. And we live in a world today that is so secular that even Christians have got away from the position of prayer. We need to pray. Because you need to exercise your faith. The Bible tells us, it tells us that we have not because we ask not. Because we don't ask, it's because we assume that it's going to develop in some type of way. We assume. I want the young people to hear me. Don't assume that things will develop because they're supposed to develop. There's no truth in that. There's no truth in that. In other words, people have to become, if we're going to be Christians and live for God successfully, we have to learn the importance of prayer. We've got to learn the importance of prayer. We've got to learn the importance of a communication with God that establishes our faith in what he will do for us and what the Lord can do. That's how your faith is established. Your faith is not established in just reading the word of God. Because you have to exercise your faith. You have to realize that the Lord is he is a presence. He is an eternal presence. You don't have to see him. You will see the results of whatever he does. You will see the results if you pray. You will see the results if you pray. We live in a world today that has become so secular, and we're so used to producing everything ourselves, doing it our own way, until it comes to the point is that we realize that we cannot do it any longer. And then, many times what happens is, you don't have enough strength to look for God. You don't have enough strength to deal with it. You don't have enough faith. But that's what it really amounts to. Faith grows. Problems in life grow. The older you get, the more devastating the problems come against you. Problems grow. The more responsibility and accountability that you have, the greater the problems are. Those problems grow. And if your faith goes along with your problem, then you'll be able to overcome your problems. But if you don't pray, you won't have any faith. And your problems will overwhelm you, because what you will do is you will give in to the human situation around you and assume that, hopefully, and believe that somehow that might suffice. It won't. It won't suffice. In other words, your problems will escalate. Your situations will get worse. Because the world right now is going in a downtrend rapidly. I don't understand. If we have the Holy Ghost and God has filled us with His Spirit, we should be able to visualize very easily that the world is going down very, very rapidly. And so therefore, in order for us to continue to maintain our position and keep our heads above the situation of the world, we need to pray. We need to exercise our faith. We don't need to meditate. Meditation goes along with prayer, but meditation is no good to you until after you have prayed. Meditation is no good until after you have prayed. After I have talked to God, then I begin to meditate, because in my meditation, the Lord's going to minister to me. The Lord's going to uplift me. The Lord's going to tell me what I need to do. Because like I told you about speaking in tongues, is where God communicates with your spirit. There are certain things that God will tell you in the realm of the spirit that you will not hear in your own human ears. You will not understand them. You will understand what God says to your spirit. This is the important thing about being born again. He speaks to your spirit. Amen. And that's transmitted to your mind, which gives you, it empowers you to wait on the promises of God. But sometimes you wonder, you think, are we so well informed? Or we live in such an information society that we think we just can think our way through this? You can't think your way through it. It won't happen. You can worry your way through. I'm serious. And you know, it's a sad thing to see. It's a sad thing to see people that have the power to tackle onto God to worry and to destroy their life with worry. I'd rather destroy my life in prayer than worry. I'd rather say, listen, I'm going to fight this thing. I'm going to, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm not letting anything take me down or destroy me. I'm standing up because the promises of God are mine. And you need to claim them. And the only way you can claim them is through that vehicle of faith. That's how you make your claims. And of course, naturally, you build this relationship with God because this relationship is important. It's the most important relationship that you will ever have. I love my children. I love my wife. These are important relationships to me. But I would not have the relationship that I have with them if it was not for God. It's my relationship with God that helps me to feel the way I feel about my wife and my children. He shows me the importance of them and taking care of them and providing for them and loving them and being faithful to them. He gives me the desire to be faithful to them and to undergird them and to strengthen them and to do everything that needs to be for them. The Lord gives me that. The world does not provide that. That's right. The world doesn't provide that. So many people in the world are holding on to something that's sliding. And the world is sliding. In fact, the world is not sliding, it has slid. People have brought themselves to a position that they have accepted substandard positions of lifestyle. That don't work and will never work. That will never be edifying for anyone's life. The flesh that's in the church can do the same thing. All you have to do is not pray. People don't realize that when you come to church, it's human flesh here. The Lord tells us that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We should not be of the world. We should be living in a higher plane than what the world is living. We should be a greater example to the world. But not just because of our sheer knowledge, but because of our relationship with God. Our relationship with God. I tell the young people this, is that if you see people, I tell you, when I came in church, I was devoted and around people that had relationships with God. I didn't mess too much with the people that thought they knew it all about the Bible. I really didn't. Because you know what? Most of them that I knew that were that way, in fact, probably 95% of them are no longer with the Lord. But the ones who have relationships are still with the Lord. Have they had problems? Of course. Tremendous problems. But they're still with the Lord because they have a relationship. But them that had knowledge, their knowledge eventually took them out the back door somewhere. Because eventually they thought they knew more than was written. Knowledge is a very dangerous thing. Especially if it's used outside of the position of God. It can be a very dangerous thing. I enjoyed the presence of people that prayed. And of course I was very fortunate because I was raised up in a church that we had some real prayer warriors in there. They didn't mind praying. We had prayer chains going and folks were praying 2 hours and their prayer chain 24 hours. And oh my man, I tell you, they believed in prayer. And of course, when you seen the desire that people had to pray, it helped you to grow to pray. So I think it's very unfortunate that in the apostolic movement people say, well, we got the truth, we've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's all we need to know. We need to know the Lord. The only way you know the Lord is engage yourself with Him. The only way in any relationship, the only way a husband and wife knows each other is between our intimacy that we have. Amen. I'm not talking about just sexual. I'm talking about emotional intimacy. There's a lot of intimacy that we have that's much more tangible than just our physical relationship. And more likely when we see relationships where people don't talk and don't have that position of intimacy in their relationship, the relationship either they go sour or it's two people that don't know each other, that live under the same household, and they can't get anything done together because they don't know each other. The Lord has given us the vehicle of faith, and we need to use that vehicle. Every day. We need to find a place of prayer and a time of prayer every day. We need to talk to the Lord because the Lord wants to talk to us. But He doesn't talk to us because many times we don't talk to Him. Amen. let me also say, you don't feel prayer. No one in the flesh ever really feels like praying. You got to develop a mind to pray. Sometimes you feel like praying. Sometimes you feel like praying when you got a problem. And you feel as though the Lord's the only one can answer it. Then you feel like praying. Because the situation forces you to pray. Am I right? The flesh can have find liberty to pray then. But it doesn't start in the spirit prayer. It starts in the flesh when you're in the mind. Mind says, I need to worship God today. I need to take a minute or a few minutes to give God some praise. And to, hallelujah, to worship Him. I need to find a lone place for a few minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, whatever we do. We need to find that time. Of course, naturally, if we find that time and we find that time often enough, we find that we get lost in what we're doing. And we begin to enjoy the presence of God. We find comfort and peace and strength and everything in God's presence. And there are times when it gets stagnant and it gets rough. But God is always faithful. God is always faithful. And what I'm trying to say is, in order for you to be successful in it, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. That's why the Lord says, and this is the important part of understanding of why the Lord made the statement as depart from me, you never knew me. What He meant was is that if people are in relationship with God, we know the mind and the will of God. And God can mold us and shape us to fulfill His will. But if we don't have a relationship with the Lord, we might read the book and have an idea of what God wants to do, but we really don't know how He wants to do it. So sometimes what we do is we run the cart before the horse. Am I right? We run the cart before the horse. And some people continue in that, and they do things. They say, well, we're doing this for the Lord. We're doing it for the Lord. We're doing it. But I've seen so many people say they were doing something for the Lord, but they didn't even know what the Lord wanted them to do. Because they weren't in relationship with Him. They didn't talk to Him. They didn't have that, you know, they didn't feel the revelation power of the Holy Ghost. They didn't receive visions and dreams, and they didn't experience those things. And you know what? I tell you what, a lot of people today don't experience those things because they're afraid of them. Even people got the Holy Ghost, they are afraid of what God's going to ask them to do. I was reading a book the other day, and Brother Stone King was talking about the difference between being called and being chosen. And there's a difference between called and being chosen. Because it's like it says, many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. And few there be that find it. Because he said, those who don't be, those are not chosen, somewhere says, no, I won't do it. So a lot of people are called, but somewhere in their life they say no. That's what they say. They actually say no. They say no to God. No, no, Lord, I will not live this way. No, Lord, I will not pray. No, I will not do this, or I will not do that. They don't. They say that. They don't say it verbally to the Lord, but they say it in the way they deal with God. They say no. And of course, what does the Lord do? The Lord does not force Himself into the life of anyone. He allows them to be in the position that they're in. But people say no. And a lot of people, more people say no than those who say yes. Even people that are speaking in tongues, many of them are still saying no, 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 God. I can't go like that. I can't do that. You know, some people are still holding on to what they had in the past. Old stuff. Born again, but still living in the old world. Well, if we live in an old world, we're dying one. We need to go forward. God wants us to go forward. He has many things for us. He wants us to go forward. He wants us to be empowered and have strength, have insight. He wants to challenge our hearts. And the only way he can do that is through faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You see what Cain's sacrifice was. And by which obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testified by his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found, and was not found, because God had translated. You know, that's an amazing thing. What kind of walk did Enoch have without the Holy Ghost to be translated? What type of walk? There was only two men that have never, beside Jesus, that have never experienced death, and that was Enoch and Elijah. But Enoch was way back. What kind of relationship did he have that God said, no, he won't die, I'm going to take him with me? Shows you the importance of relationship. Am I right? Shows you the importance of relationship. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Why are we afraid of relationship with God? Why? Why are we afraid of a relationship with God? God created us, am I right? He created everything that we've seen. If we're created by God, regardless of whether we be saints or sinners, why should we be afraid of a relationship with God? I don't understand it. Why should we be afraid of it? What is it in this world that is so important to us? What is it that is so important to us that after God has given us opportunity to have a relationship, that we still desire to have that more than the things that are relationship with God? It's beyond my understanding. Don't get me wrong, I realize that we're human, we're in flesh, and we're trying to walk like Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It takes time to come to a place where our lives is no longer a yo-yo and up and down, up and down. But the most important thing is what keeps us away from his presence. What robs us away from the presence of God, to the point is that even though we realize, and even though the people in the world realize, that God has made everything. Do you realize that people in the world are starving for a relationship with God? Oh, sometimes I think that we decide to be stubborn. Is the flesh that strong? Is the flesh that strong? The flesh can be so strong that even with the Holy Ghost, we can build up a wall. Holding God back. You know, when you hold God back, you're still drifting in time. Do you realize that? When you hold God back, you're still drifting in time. You're still drifting in time. You're losing more ground than you ever can. You're still drifting in time. You're holding God back, but you're drifting in time. Time, eternity, you know, it's like the backslider. The backslider can run so hard away from God that he runs smack into God. Am I right? He's doing everything in his power to get away. He's doing everything in his power to get away from God. But yet, for some reason, down on the other end of the line, he runs smack into God. Ooh, that is the grace of God. So what am I saying? Don't be in the church and be like the backslider. Don't be in the church and be like the backslider. I understand why the backsliders run away from God. But if we're in the church, we should not be running away from God. We should be running to God. That's what we should be looking towards, whatever the Lord can do for us in our lives. Don't run. Because if you run away from him, he might not be on the other end. I realize, I think that we live in a day right now that in order for people to be one to the Lord, they have to see people that really do value their relationship. Like I said, not just this religious thing, and we got everything right, but we got to value that relationship. They got to see in us, they got to see in our spirit, in our attitude, that we are people of prayer. It makes a difference. Because a lot of people put on the label of Christianity and say, I'm a Christian. Okay. And when they say, when they tell me that, the first thing I begin to do, I begin to look for the spirit of it. Where's the spirit of Christianity? Don't get me wrong. I've seen some people that didn't have the truth that had better prayer lives than some people who do. That's right. I had a guy I used to go to the gym with, and I'd be in the gym, and he'd be in the silence speaking in tongues. He was Trinitarian. He'd be in the silent man, speaking in tongues, just talking to the Lord. And me and him would talk. And of course, naturally, he knew I was apostolic, so he would listen to me. He really did. And you know why he could listen to me? He could listen to me and receive what I had to say, because he had just got finished talking to the Lord. And the Spirit of God is the same, and he could hear the tone and the atmosphere of truth that was coming from what I was saying. And he received it well. He never ever came back against what I had to say to him. He always received it. And I thought, man, here's a guy that has he has the Holy Ghost, but he has a small portion of truth. And he prayed. And he's not ashamed. Am I right? Let's close with this. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, some people say, well, I got faith. Without faith being exercised, you can't please God. You can believe in your mind all you want. But that's not faith. That's not faith because you believe in your mind. Because faith has to be exercised in order for it to be faith. Remember? Faith without works or what? Is dead. So you can exercise all you want to in my mind. Oh, I believe God for everything. Well, I heard a lot of people say they believe God for everything and never receive anything from God because they don't pray. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently. That's the importance of prayer. Diligently. That's don't seek him when the times are bad. Seek the Lord. I have found that through my position of religion. Difficult. Sometimes I didn't even have to pray. The presence of God was right there. That's me. I want us to understand that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle. The devil is doing everything he can to overtake this body. But you know what he's doing? He's doing it just like you would cook a frog. How would you cook a frog? You wouldn't take a frog and throw him in hot water with you. But the frog, if you throw him in hot water, he would just jump back out. What you do is you cook a frog. Only because we are really trying to do something for God. Let's pray, y'all. And let's remember the importance of prayer for ourselves and for the church. Amen. And let's plead the blood. Because see, once he sees the standard of that blood, he knows that he cannot stand against the power of that blood. All right? So, if you feel like a frog, I do. Amen. But he don't realize that I've already jumped out. See, when you start praying, you jump out. Amen. If you're not praying, let's pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Holy Ghost today and your Spirit today. Pray for your traveling mercy and your strength today. Call upon your greatness and name today. Pray that you bless, Lord God. Touch us on Sunday. Strengthen us. Help us to be what you'd have us to be, Lord God, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost today. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Powers of heaven and of earth. We give you glory, honor, praise, mighty and matchless name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, Lord God. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Greet each other.